Greetings, Xers, and welcome to episode 40 of X Radio X. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Wanted to point out that today ended up being an extra special episode. It is going to be a two-parter. This is an episode about a March Madness music bracket that Jace came up with. It was a lot of fun. We had a good friend co-host with us. So please enjoy part one of the March Madness music bracket, episode 40 of X Radio X.
We're going to do this, but we're going to do it our way.
You bought a robot, baby?
Wow.
That was a joke grenade. That took me a second. Imagine the poop emoji as furniture.
It's weird that we didn't do that 10 minutes ago.
We should have started that before, you know. That makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't we do that?
Too late now.
Matt, you forgot to disclaimer this part. We're old, and we remember how it used to be. There, go. And it was better then, too. You got to put that in there. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly.
While you guys are weaving belts, I'm going to sing this little tune that I wrote.
We think we're funny. On with the show.
This is X Radio X.
Well, welcome, everybody.
It's hello.
40 of X Radio X. That's right. Our episode is 40 years old. It's not middle-aged.
A fine wine.
Which is appropriate considering everybody on this call is solidly smack dab in the middle-age category.
No, we are hip with the teens.
Oh, well, we're going to find out shortly because I have something to ask you guys, to ask your wives, and we'll see how hip with the teens you all are. But we'll get to that in just a moment.
I just want to say that I think we're lit.
Yes, we are lit. I'm drinking a Miller Lite, so I'm probably the closest to lit out of all of us. And it's only my second one. So I'm Jace.
I'm Matt.
Jace. And hello. That's Matt. And with us is our good friend that we've known for a very long time, at least since the 1900s. Mm. That's our friend Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me back again and again.
Yes. I'm glad you could join us for the practice run we did, 5 minutes ago where I forgot to hit record.
This time I'm even more excited that you're here.
Yes.
The first I'm more time excited. I was like, Jeff, but now I'm like, yes.
Yes.
All right.
I'm more excited to be back, and I can't wait for the royalty checks to roll in.
Yeah. Any minute. Well, yeah, they come pretty quickly. Yeah.
I'll let you know when I get mine, then everybody will get theirs. So I'm just going to do what they like to say in the industry, let's do a pulse check. Okay, I see the record numbers are rolling. We actually are recording. So it's episode 40, and we're all in our 40s. I think it's safe to say. Matt looked like he's a solid 39. Jeff, you and I, we look like we're in our 40s.
Thanks, yeah. Baby.
We're killing it.
I have to wear black all the time now. Black t-shirts is where it's at. Stripes will no longer hide.
They're like, black is slimming. I'm like, I can't put enough on anymore. It's just not happening.
Yeah, why did you start this episode with a balaclava on? That was weird.
So, in our previous record that was not recording, mm-hmm. Matt and Jeff asked, what are we doing for this episode? So I went through a whole spiel about how in March, when we decided to do this in early March, because that's how long ago it was, because we're mm-hmm. three working people who took this long to get here, we were going to do a bracket, right? Because March Madness, basketball brackets, everybody gets crazy about it. There's that Thursday and Friday at work that literally nobody works. We just sit and watch basketball games. And I feel okay saying that because I'm part of management and I was sitting there watching basketball games. So y'all are fine. Okay. excuse me. So what we're going to do for our March Madness, which is now April Madness, because this is the beginning of April when we're recording this, is we're going to do Grammy songs, the 80s versus the 90s.
Nice.
So I went through and I got all the Grammy winners from the 80s, synced them up against the equivalent years in the 90s, had to throw a couple wild card songs in there because I had to get the brackets to match. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go through and we're going to pick who we think's going to win, and we're going to see how this works out. It'll probably be a giant shit show, but we'll give it a whirl.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that I love any episode where I have to do zero research. So I'm already very excited because I literally did nothing except for a briefly look at the thing you sent me, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And then in our non-record that we were doing before, it came down to, all right, I sent this to Matt. And then I went, oh, crap. Didn't send it to Jeff. So Jeff's going in blind. He has no idea what he's in for. So
hold on.
He's just going to hear this and we'll get started. It's not a contest. Nobody wins per se, except for the listeners. But yeah. Matt was also asking, before we get into that, Matt wanted to know when it was okay to talk about Beyonce.
Yeah. Is it okay now?
It's who am I to tell you when you can and cannot talk about Beyonce?
All right. So listen, Beyonce has a new album out. Have you guys listened to it? Beyonce.
I've heard the first song.
Are you members of the Beehive? Jeff? No?
Nope. Nope.
Okay. So she put out an album. It's very, it's got some country influence. The first single is playing all over the radio. It's broken into country music, radio. It's everywhere. And one of the songs she does on the album is a cover, and I'm going to make air quotes that the listeners will not see. She makes a cover of Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Yes, I've heard a lot about this, actually.
So I love cover songs. I collect cover songs. Yep. I'm a cover song connoisseur.
You've been on the cover since I've known you.
Exactly. And so I have issues with this song because it's not a cover. It's
reworking.
Not, it's an homage, maybe.
Isn't Dolly on it? She's on the record, isn't she?
Yeah, but not on that song.
Okay.
So Beyonce redid Jolene for the modern era. She is a badass. She is. I have nothing against Beyonce, first of all, to all the Beehive out there. I'm not.
But he hates K-pop people. He hates K-pop. So now all the K-pop people can come out.
I hate K-pop. I am on the fence about the Eagles. And
hold on. I take that back. He loves K-pop. He hates the Eagles.
But listen, Beyonce, darling, just call it something else. Call it like Jolene's Revenge, or call it Jolene the sequel, or Ode to Jolene, or something. Because first of all, she changed pretty much all the lyrics. She redid
the music, at least the same,
similar.
Did she give like credit back to Dolly Parton?
I mean, I think that she has to. I think it's enough of a
similar.
If she didn't say that it was a Dolly Parton song, she would have owed her money. Like that, she could have sued her and gotten a lot of money. So she called it Jolene, but it's different lyrics. It's very empowered, and I think the message is good. But I just think she should have written a new song with the same message of, if you mess with my man, I'll kill you, versus please, beautiful woman, don't take my man. Like, that's what Dolly Parton was trying to say. She was like, you're beautiful. You've got auburn hair. You've got green eyes. Everyone thinks you're hot. Please don't take my man. I'm just little old Dolly Parton. It was a different thing. Beyonce's like, listen, bitch, you take my man.
I'm coming.
I will take your eyeballs. Like, she doesn't mess around. And I think that's cool, but she just should have called it something else. And so I'm kind of annoyed that it's a cover, because it's not really a cover. And I'm curious if other cover song fans, if they have heard it, what they think. Again, not knocking Beyonce. A couple of the other songs on the album I really do like. She does one with Miley Cyrus, which is cool. And I'm not really a huge fan of the first single. But anyway, the album's decent. That song is annoying to me.
So I've not heard anything except for, is it called Texas Hold'em or something like that? It's the first one. I have heard, though, that I forget what podcast I was listening to, and they were talking about the Beyonce album. But from what they were talking about, they said that the Beyonce and Miley song is like the banger of the album.
I like it. It's a good song, and they harmonize really well together. I think it's called Two Something. But that's a good one. And Two Most Wanted, I think it's called. But the Jolene cover, it's not a cover. So if you're a cover song fan, just skip it. And I'm done. Okay.
Hot takes.
Move on to something fun.
Well, it'd been nice to get the email about that ahead of time, so I could have added some value.
Sorry. It's Jeff, listen to it once so you can say that you've listened to it, and then you'll say, oh, yeah, I agree.
Because that's what people tune into this for, is to hear what three white middle-aged guys think about the new Beyonce songs.
What are they thinking about Beyonce? I need
honestly, maybe that's what they're after. She's releasing it on country radio. So, I mean, they assume that's what we're listening to. So,
yeah, we have country music experience betwixt us.
We do, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So on to bigger and better things. I'm excited about the bracket.
Okay. We'll get to the bracket in a second. But you wanted to talk about being young.
Oh,
all right.
Do you guys know what being caked up is?
No. Caked up?
You should go tell your wives they're caked up.
Is that good?
Wait, do I need a duck?
I'm not telling you.
What does it mean?
No, I will tell you what it means. It means you have a nice rear end.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's not bad.
So if you're like, hey, babe, you're looking caked up, but if they don't know what it means,
it might not sound good.
It might not go over the way you think it will.
So if I pull like an Everybody Loves Raymond and be like, hey, baby, you're looking nice and cakey today. Cakey up.
Cakey up.
Yeah, I'd do it that way. Cakey up.
I wouldn't say you look cakey.
Just like make it a pet name.
Right. What's there.
Up, cakey baby.
Right there, Jeff. That shows me you have zero riz.
All right, so what you need to do is you need to print out the Urban Dictionary page, hand it to her first, and then say, you're looking caked up. Then your bases are covered.
So, or like, hey, hostess mama.
Because had I not known what that was, I'm ignoring you, hostess mama. And somebody told me I was caked up, I'd be like, well, that's a really interesting way of calling me fat.
I think so. If all right,
I do like cake though. So
I'm gonna sound really old, but it seems like if someone says you're looking caked up, that to me makes it sound like you've been like working out. And you're like caked up, like a beefcake.
Oh, like a beefcake. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. I obviously I'm wrong.
Maybe that's the word origin from it, from like doing squats. You know, like.
No, I think
it's because you have two fluffy cakes in the back of your pants. That's what
pound cake.
At.
Yeah.
Pound cake. Which is funny though, because if you're caked up but you're a cake boy, that's a different connotation.
Yeah. Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah. I could sing that song for you right now. I think he's in a yellow Camaro. Oh, sorry. Okay. I know that one.
Yeah. That is not where I meant for that to go, but you should go to your wives and tell them they're looking caked up.
I'm gonna,
and see what happens.
I'll leave.
I don't know your wife.
Oh,
Jeff, but I'm really interested to hear what Matt's wife has to say.
Wasn't that in the Humpty song though?
The Humpty dance.
Yeah.
Caked up.
No, not caked up, but something very similar.
They got busy in a Burger King bathroom.
Close to that. Just think about that. Put that in the back of your head.
It rhymes with an umpty. Yo, lady,
if you have a weak bladder and you can't climb a ladder, is that?
No, that's do what you like.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right. Moving on.
Okay, let's move on to our Grammy song breakdown, the 80s versus the 90s. So, Jeff, you haven't seen this at all.
Nope.
At all. Matt has. And I wouldn't actually call it an unfair advantage because nobody really wins anything here. So it might be more interesting to hear what you're going to pick or say off the cuff versus what Matt has had at least
seconds,
at least a couple days to look at. It wasn't it wasn't too long. So
let's begin.
Okay. Round one. First years against each other is 1980 versus 1990.
I love that it's the 80s versus the 90s. This is exciting. Okay.
So in the 80s, we were all kids. I mean, you could safely say we were all kids. Yep. I think I was 5 in 1980. That would have made you guys like 3.
4.
But that's not the point. 4, okay. Jeff's close to my age. And in the 90s, we were solidly teenagers. That's when we all met in college. So this should be a wheelhouse for us. So year 1980 versus the year 1990. Grammy Songs of the Years are... from 1980, What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers, against a heavy hitter in the Grammy category. Very heavy hitter. Wind Beneath My Wings, Bette Midler. So, in a showdown, in a street fight, maybe.
Gosh.
Who's going to win this one? Who's got a better song? Who's got a better song?
Okay, so first off, if you don't mind me going first, because I have a lot to say about the first song. It's very, it's a bouncy song. Like it starts out, like it makes you feel good. Any song with Michael McDonald in it is automatically gold to me. I don't really know all the lyrics, but it's something like, and then like continues to that. You know what I mean? You're familiar with this, right?
Sure. Jeff? Yeah, that works.
So,
yep.
Totally.
So you're just like, it's a bop, as the kids say. It's fun.
If you want to know what Matt's actually trying to say when he goes, the initial lyrics go, he came from somewhere back in her long ago. The sentimental fool don't see trying hard to recreate.
Yeah. So anyway, that song is a jam. I think it would get you in a good mood when you're not in a good mood. And I personally have to see it continue on to the next round, because I would seek that song out for a variety of reasons. Whereas Wind Beneath My Wings is a iconic, like, heart-wrenching song, and it comes from a heart-wrenching movie, but I don't find myself looking out for that song. In fact, I would usually avoid it if I heard it. Jeff, what say you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Bette Midler's going to the backseat on this one. I'm probably churning the station or getting out of the elevator, whichever comes first.
What if it's not in the grocery store? Because that's probably where you're going to hear it most days.
That would not happen, because grocery stores play a lot of 80s music that's fast, so that you want to buy more food and spend more money. Mm. They do not play slow. Yeah. They want you down the aisles and grabbing stuff and bopping your head.
Yeah, I agree. I think it makes you grocery shop faster. Now, I will say, to play Midler's advocate, I think that Wind Beneath My Wings, and I don't know if she wrote it, but Wind Beneath My Wings is a very well-written song. It's beautiful, and I think many, many people who are interested in that genre of music, it hits them hard emotionally. Like, it makes them tear up when they hear it, and I'm sure a lot of people have a very specific connection with somebody that has to do with Wind Beneath My Wings, and millions of people have dedicated that song to other millions of people. So I think that song is an epic, timeless, sappy song, but putting the two versus each other is kind of, and I think this happens in the sporting events with sporting supporters too, sometimes one team just really is mismatched with the other team. And I think in this case, What a Fool Believes just owns Wind Beneath My Wings, because they're just not the same. Like, this What a Fool Believes is super fun and boppy, and Wind Beneath My Wings kind of makes me want to cry.
And yeah, I hated the movie.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking is did Wind Beneath My Wings actually get a little bit more hype because there was a movie attached with it?
For sure.
And
yeah.
So, you know, if that was without the movie, I don't know if anybody would be listening to it, even in the 80s.
It's Bette Midler. People would have been listening to it in 1990. Bette Midler is, they would have been listening to it. Come on now.
I think that's true, though. That's a good point, because a lot of times there is a song that is so connected with the movie that you just think of it because of the movie. You know, Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing is another one. Like, that song, when I hear that, I just immediately think of Dirty Dancing. I don't think of the song. I think of Dirty Dancing, Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner. And I think Wind Beneath My Wings does kind of just drag this movie along with it, unfortunately, because then you're thinking, this person died, and then you just get turned sad. So
yeah,
my vote
to
is
agree.
They do not make it.
I have to agree with the both of you. I do like What a Fool Believes better than Wind Beneath My Wings. Iconic song. It's a Bette Midler song. If there's a greatest hits album. It's probably one of the top first three songs on that album. I'm going to bet you it's on there.
Had a place in his life.
So What a Fool Believes, it was in a movie, right?
It might have been. I don't know.
Wasn't it in Arthur?
It might have been. I know the best that you can do. Oh, if you get caught between the moon and New York's.
That's the song in Arthur. That's Christopher Cross, isn't it?
Christopher Cross, yeah. He's touring, by the way.
He shows up on this list later, so just hold tight.
Do you guys remember Christopher Cross in that, what was that, Wesley Snipes vampire movie?
Blade?
Yeah, he was in Blade.
No, that's Chris Christopherson.
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, that guy.
No, it's not the same guy.
He's a lizard man, Chris Christopherson. Yeah.
He is. He's a lizard man. He's not. It's not the sailing guy.
All right, fine. I'm just finding a way to even lose this competition.
Yeah, we're not even playing for points, and you're trying to lose. Way to go, Jeff.
Jace gets a point for this one.
I'm running it. I get all the points. All right. Throwing that one, the Doobie Brothers beat Bette Midler.
Nice.
What a Fool Believes moves on to the next round. Next pick. All right. I went to the other end of the 80s.
Okay.
And I went 1989 versus 1999. We were all in college. Hell, I actually had graduated from college by 1999. Kind of.
Crazy.
Just barely. I had one class, but we won't get into that. So 1989. Grammy Song of the Year is Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin.
Ooh, yep.
Nice.
1999, My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Oh.
And Jeff, I can't believe I'm going to pick who I'm going to pick in this one, but I'll let you guys go.
Jeff, you go first.
I really think it's going to be Bobby McFerrin.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, like, he came out with a whole new style. Nobody had done that before.
True.
What?
I would say he's
without instruments. Of course they have.
Yeah. I agree with you, Jeff. Don't let him booze your high. Just go with it.
Booze your high. Okay. I learned that one. So Jeff is you're going with Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that's going to be it was on every station. People were listening to that, and it really made people that was a song people were listening to just to be happy. And it changed office environments.
That's right. You know, he's right.
It was as close to changing office environments as air conditioning.
Yeah, I think that's a really that's a hot take that I 100% agree with. No pun intended with the air conditioning. But this is I agree with you because Don't Worry, Be Happy. I don't know that before this song, if it was a catchphrase like it's on bumper stickers like it is everywhere. People say Don't Worry, Be Happy who don't even know the song because they've just grown up hearing Don't Worry, Be Happy. And so it's part of our makeup, our history, our social interaction with each other is Don't Worry, Be Happy because of that song. And I'm also going to agree with you, Jeff, because of he did do something that, yes, had been done before, but never in the popular music. He didn't do it. No one did it as successfully as he did.
I'm trying to remember that music video, too. He was...
The music video had a lot.
Didn't have a lot of color in it. He was wearing like a Bill Cosby shirt, sweater. Was it?
I think Bill Cosby was in it with him.
Yeah.
No. I think I'm probably remembering wrong. But wasn't Robin Williams in it?
I believe it was Robin Williams.
It was a cool video. It was fun. So it immediately said, we're having fun.
Yeah.
Bobby McFerrin was doing things that made people say, what the hell is he? There's not any instruments. Well, there's got to be. I definitely hear a bass guitar in there. And then people had to say, no, there's no, it's just him doing all of it. And then if you listen to that album, he is amazing. Like he does a cover of Sunshine of Your Love that is astounding considering it's all done with his body, like no instruments at all. Yeah. So
it literally was the beatboxing for white middle-aged. I mean, they're like, this stuff is pretty good.
It was catchy. It was fun. It became part of the zeitgeist. Like, it was everywhere. And even though people may have gotten a little sick of it, it was so big at the time. I think that, again, if you're looking at its competition, I wish that I knew sports to be able to say this is so-and-so versus so-and-so, but this is like, I don't think there's a big enough, like, all right, so My Heart Will Go On was in the Titanic soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So again, you are now tying this movie, this all these dead people in with this song, with this beautiful song, but I don't seek that song out. If it's playing, I'm probably not going to keep listening to it. I think as far as this is a good one, though, like it, when you think of a song that's iconic, My Heart Will Go On is definitely an iconic, like epic, amazing song. But Don't Worry, Be Happy, I think I have to agree. I think that edges out just because it's a better song.
All right, fine. You know, it wins 2-1.
And I'm looking at Bobby McFerrin on his webpage right now.
Yeah.
In the video he had.
For 74 years old, this guy looks, yeah, he looks 10 times better than I do. And he's, I mean, seriously, check it out. He's killing
it
right now.
You could probably do this music with your body, though, too.
I could put my hand under my armpit and
maybe eight make sounds. Times. Don't cut yourself down like that. He's not 10 times better looking than you.
All right.
Maybe three times.
And he's touring. Man,
well, he's a musician. That's how he makes money.
Well, he's 74 years old. I don't know.
Wait,
don't,
is he a musician?
Hey, I'm going to see Judas Priest in like a month, and Rob Halford is, he's got to be 105, and yeah, he's still touring. So,
yep, that's true.
All so right. You guys will be happy to know I was going to pick My Heart Will Go On.
Okay, so why? Let me hear your argument. Change my mind.
I can't change your mind. I just like the song better.
You just love it.
I don't even like Celine Dion. I don't. I just think the song, you know, near, far,
that's, wherever it's good.
Yeah. You are, you know.
Yeah.
Come on.
I agree. I think
compared to here's a little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
Yep. Yep. You're right. It's sillier, certainly. It is a sillier song. This is the trick with pop music, though. And I think, you know, not being a musician, I'm just talking out of my ass, but the trick with pop music is,
I don't think Bobby McFerrin did that in his song, though.
I think he did. You have to make it catchy and relatively simple. Like, the key to making the masses drawn to it is it's catchy, it's simple. You can immediately mm-hmm. either whistle or hum along to it. And he basically said, why don't you sing along? Like, in the song, he's like, this is going to be pretty easy for you to sing along, so come on. Like, that, what more do you need? He's telling you, come with me on this journey.
Here's the other reasons I picked this one. Kenny G did a cover of it. Kenny G doesn't do a cover of your song unless you're iconic.
Right.
And Newfound Glory did a killer song of it, cover of it.
You know what else Kenny G did a cover of?
What did he do a cover of?
David Bryan's Hair.
Who did it better? David Bryan.
100%.
Who did it first? David Bryan.
All right.
All right, fine. Don't Worry, Be Happy wins that one. Woo! 89 beats 99. Now, I will say, if you would have asked me in 1999, I probably would have been like, Bobby McFerrin, Hand Down and Twice on Sunday. Because that song, My Heart Will Go On, was on every freaking pop radio station. It was on MTV constantly.
That's true.
It was in the Boat Sinks movie. It was my girlfriend at the time had the soundtrack, and you know,
yeah.
But now, looking back, I'm like, I picked My Heart Will Go On. I mean, Celine Dion, she got a residency in Vegas. Did Bobby McFerrin?
No. It's not a bad song, Jace. I don't think that you should feel ashamed of yourself for picking that song. Well,
thank you, but I don't.
Just, you should feel like a loser, but you should not feel ashamed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And just so you guys wonder, since you like Bobby McFerrin and that song so much, you can get a pre-owned version of it, Don't Worry, Be Happy, from Walmart for $9.73.
Yes.
Good. So, Head on out to your local internet Walmart and pick that up. You can also get a pre-owned of My Heart Will Go On for $5.27, so even Walmart doesn't like it as much. Nope.
There you go. The proof is in the money.
So there it is.
No, but I had Bobby McFerrin on cassette. I had that cassette.
I'll bet you did.
I did.
I believe now to give Bobby McFerrin a little bit of bump from Jace is there was a time where I was an underage kid at a bar and I did karaoke some Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I also did Wild Thing by Tone Loc and a 40-year-old woman put her hand on my pants, but that's a different story for a different time.
Wish I could have been there.
And she did it in front of my parents. So
perfect. Oh, well then it's all good.
Fantastic, okay. Right? I wish I was making that up, but I'm not. So our next showdown, 1981 versus 1991.
Nice.
I told you Christopher Cross was going to be showing back up on this after we talked about him. Not Chris Christopherson, but Christopher Cross. Sailing by Mr. Cross against, I told you she's a heavy hitter. She's on here again, From a Distance, Bette Midler.
All right, so first I want to say about Christopher Cross. Do you guys remember that album that he put out in like the late 80s where he wore all of his clothes backwards?
It's Crisscross.
Yeah.
You had me for a second. I'm like, what? He did? Did he know that that other? Oh. Very good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Crisscross. That's what we're talking about.
No, Matt. That's all so right. Wiggity, 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 whack.
All right. So
you got Sailing by Christopher Cross against From a Distance by Bette Midler. They're standing in your driveway arguing over who's better, who wins.
Ugh. I mean, in a fist fight, Bette Midler, I think, wins, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're talking about the songs, So I'm gonna take lead on this one and then jump in, Jeff, whenever you feel the urge. But I have to say, I have to give the edge to Bette Midler just because this song is the one Christopher Cross song that makes me want to not listen to music anymore. It personally makes me cry. Like, not because I'm sad about the song. It's just that I'm sad that I have to listen to it. So
yeah. Wow. You don't like that song, huh?
I don't. And I actually will admit here on this podcast that I do like a number of Christopher Cross songs. That's not one of them. It is so like 2% milk that I just can't find any redeeming qualities in it. So I know Christopher Cross is a big fan and he listens to the podcast. Listen, Chris, I'm sorry, but that's not your best song. I'm going to give Bette Midler the edge. From a Distance is a weird song, but I think it's better than Sailing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And I think why From a Distance is a little bit better, kind of going what you said, Jace, is it's easy, it's catchy, but it has that dun, 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 you know, and it makes it a little less sappy than...
It's hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you want to know what's funny, though? As I'm reading, I'm on the Wikipedia page for Christopher Cross because I'm trying to find something to defend this poor man.
it was probably his biggest hit. I mean,
this was released. It was written in 79 and it was released in 80, but it was Song of the Year in 1981. It's kind of weird to me. Yeah. Just saying.
Ride Like the Wind is a much better song. Caught Between the Moon and Arthur's Theme, that's a better song in my opinion. Sailing is unfortunately, it's the example people use when they say, hey, if you know what Christopher Cross is, oh, I remember Sailing Takes Me Away, like that's the example, and it's not his best. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I just don't think it's his best stuff, and I don't think this is Bette Midler's best song either. But it is a hopeful message. It's got a nice instrumentation. And I just think it's out of those two songs, it's a more challenging, I think, in some ways. But to me, because I just hate Sailing so much, I think that it's an easy choice.
Man, once again, I'm in the minority on this one. I like Sailing by Christopher Cross.
Is that your favorite Christopher Cross song?
No, it's not my favorite one. Ride Like the Wind is my favorite one. I do like Arthur's song.
You know, it's too bad that music videos weren't around in the 70s, because maybe the tiebreaker between this massive pile of crap could be what had a better video.
I'm going to say
so
that.
So far, I'm still turning the channel on everything that I like better. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go with, I wish I could share this with you guys, but here is a video of Christopher Cross looking a lot like Chris Pratt.
I'm thinking
he's fat Chris Pratt when he was Andy Dwyer.
At a white piano with a white background.
No, he's wearing an old Houston Oilers number 34 jersey.
What?
And he's playing a double neck guitar. So suck on that, Bette Midler. But you don't play a double neck guitar.
But I think their hair is about as curly. So let's go to the third tiebreaker. Who has the best perm? Bette Midler?
Bette Midler. She wins best perm.
I mean,
wait, is this a perm bracket? Really? I need to change my answers. I didn't realize this was a perm bracket.
Yeah. And I kind of think Christopher Cross washed his hair within 24 hours of getting a perm.
He seriously he looks like he's trying to win an Andy Dwyer lookalike contest, and he loses every time.
Wow.
But, I mean, he looks like a guy at open mic night. I can't believe I picked him. Now I want to change my vote to Bette Midler. Bette Midler wins 3-0. I'm sorry, Christopher Cross. Ride Like the Wind.
He's a
great
big fan.
Song.
That's the bummer is he's listening right now. So yes. I'm sorry, Christopher Cross. I'm sorry. Keep listening, buddy.
I mean, sailing does take me away to a place that I want to be, but Bette Midler, she's going to kick your ass in my driveway if you guys meet up.
Sailing might take us away from hearing the song anymore. I mean, if you're out in the ocean, you probably
It is a yacht rock classic, though. Come on. If you're sitting on a boat and you've got your polo on and you got your deck shoes and sailing comes on, you're going to sing along. You're going to do it. But, you know, Bette Midler wins. We got to give this one to Ms. Midler.
Sorry, 1981.
Yeah. And I got this directly from the Grammy site. So if somebody wants to tell us we're wrong, you know, feel free, because I don't care. Anyways, so we're going to move on to 1988 versus 1998. This is
all right. Now we're feeling good.
This one here was surprising to me. And I think you guys will be surprised by the same thing, by the second song, the one that's from 1998. The one from 1988, I know you all know this one. It's somewhere out there. Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram.
Yep.
But the one from 1998 that it's up against is Sonny Came Home by Sean Colvin.
Sonny Came Home with a Vengeance.
Yeah, that won a Grammy.
You sound just like Sean Colvin.
Yeah. How do you think he made all his money? The Sean Colvin cover band.
Sean Colvin spelled S-E-A-N.
I just can't believe it won a Grammy. I mean, it's a decent song. It was right, you know, in 1998. I remember it vividly. It was all over the place.
It was all over the place. Yeah. Jeff, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
I got to think about it. Why don't you hit this up? I got to think about this. Okay. This is a little harder.
So this one's an easy win. I can't believe you have to think about this, but sure, go for it, Matt.
It's not an easy win in my opinion, but I'll tell you why. Because Sonny Came Home was super popular. Like, it was all over the radio. Neither of these songs are songs that I personally have like an attachment to. I think Somewhere Out There was from An American Tale, so another movie connection. So I hear that song and I think of a tiny little mouse with a big floppy hat.
Fievel.
Yep, exactly. Singing to the moon with his family, singing to the moon at the same time. So that's what I think of. I think that's sweet. It's a little too sweet for me at this point. It's a pretty song. I think that Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville, I think that duet that she did with Aaron Neville, I Don't Know Much, is a much better song.
I don't know much,
but I know I love you. Yeah, that's a better duet in my opinion. Yeah.
All I need to
sing it. So I think that when I look at that song, I think it's an also ran to some of her other duets that she's done. And it's connected to a little baby Russian mouse.
You leave Fievel out of this, you jerk.
And this Sean Colvin song, I think that that Jeff's cover band, Sean S.E.A.N. Colvin, do it better, actually. And I was annoyed how much it played in 98 and probably into 99 and probably into 2000 and 2001. So,
because you were working at Sunny by then, weren't you?
Yes.
98? Or was it at Fox 103?
I was probably at both, but I think this is a tough one. I think I have to say, if we're looking at what's a better song that should move on to the next round, I feel like
damn you,
Somewhere Out There is probably a better song. But this is a tough one. I think I'm going to go with Ronstadt and Ingram, but it's not an easy choice for me.
You just, by something you said, you just changed my mind. Jeff, go for it.
All right. So if it's simply just moving on, I would say Sonny Came Home, Sean Colvin, is just going to move on because I could sing it better. I could listen to it. You know, during that time frame, I don't think I ever played it at Radio X.
No, I think you would have been thrown out.
I probably was listening to it, you know, and if it came on the radio, I wasn't turning it on. So that's what I'm going to go with. I think that at least move them out of the first round into the next round.
So you're going to say Sonny Came Home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Sonny Came Home too, and here's why. Because it's a lady in a guitar, and she's just singing. I mean, she's got a band and everything, but, you know.
Sure.
She, Sean Colvin and John Leventhal wrote this song.
Okay.
John Leventhal was a producer. If you want to know who John Leventhal is, he is a producer. He's produced for the Blind Boys of Alabama, Michelle Branch, Roseanne Cash, Joan Osborne, who was huge at this same period of time. Her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was that period of time. It was that Lilith Fair period of time.
He's
and
got
it
a vibe. Yeah.
It was kind of, looking back, it's as odd as it was at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is easily Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram because, well, it's Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram. They're both completely monsters at what they do.
Right.
But I got to go with the underdog on this one. I'm just picking the lady with her acoustic guitar, Sean Colvin, Sonny Came Home.
Wow. Edge is a victory.
As much as I love Somewhere Out There because I like Fievel and I like the whole thing, and it's one of those riding in the car, I'll sing it at the top of my lungs, but you know, I'm picking Sean Colvin. I didn't think I was going to, but you know, here
I am. Think it's just the better song?
I think it's a better song because she wrote it, and if I'm not mistaken, Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram did not write that song.
Probably not.
I can look here real quick, but I'm pretty sure they did not write
that. It's Chris Christopherson that wrote that.
And his lizard buddies.
And we go full circle now.
Let me see here real soon. Now, I will say, though, back in the day, Linda Ronstadt, she was smoking.
Say no more.
She was smoking. But I do not believe, let me see, they did not. Yeah, she did. They did not write it. Some people by the name of James Horner, who I swear that was a porn star at one point in time.
No,
Barry Mann and Cynthia Wheel. Little Jack Horner.
And Steeler's Wheel?
Yes, Steeler's Wheel. All right, never mind. We're just going to say Sonny Came Home wins.
All right, Sonny Came Home
wins. A bad spot here anyways. So that's the first bracket. That's the first side. Like if we were having East and West, this would be our East.
All right.
Our East. So our winners from that bracket is What a Fool Believes. In the next round, What a Fool Believes, we'll be taking on Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Then
From a Distance, we'll be
getting harder.
Sonny Came Home.
Stay tuned, Xers, to find out if the Western bracket emerges victorious or if Sonny comes home with a victory. It's all in the exciting conclusion, the next episode of X Radio X.